All right, this is the second paper before we adjourn. The title is Feedstock and Temperature Influences in the Production of Biochar Zero Valent for Iron Composites. Michael Lourenco, presenter.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming. So, by the way, this paper was just accepted Friday, and it should be out in press here next couple weeks. This is a little bit of a twist from most biochar research. This paper is about using biochar for remediation, and I'd like to introduce a topic acknowledging that we have widespread contamination of chlorinated hydrocarbons in soil and groundwater, and we continue to face problems because chlorinated hydrocarbons are parts of paint and flame retardant formulations, textile formulations, and so soil and groundwater contamination is going to be an ongoing problem. Particularly, trichloroethylene, referred to as TCE, as you can see from this map here, these small squares everywhere there indicate different Superfund sites throughout the United States. The U.S. EPA has conducted epidemiological and surrogate animal studies, which have determined that about 5 parts per billion TCE contamination is responsible for carcinogenesis and increased birth defects, so it's a serious problem. And there are a variety of remediation strategies. Probably the most effective is in-situ remediation using permeable reactive barriers. Permeable reactive barriers are channels in which soil is removed and reactive metals such as zero-valent iron or composites of zero-valent iron are co-mixed with sand. The barrier has a higher hydraulic conductivity than around the surrounding soil, so water will pass through and contaminants will react with iron. Also, injection of nano-sized zero-valent iron is used for rapid response, but has short-term effects. The way zero-valent iron works is through reductive dechlorination. Here we have the reaction showing how iron will oxidize, donating electron to a chlorinated hydrocarbon or any halogenated hydrocarbon, actually. So here's the basic scheme. You see electron is donated to reduce the carbon-chlorine bond, producing residual hydrocarbon and chloride. This is a very effective strategy for remediation. However, kinetics are often limited due to low solution concentrations of contaminants. So if we look at the kinetic model here, we see that the rate of degradation depends on concentration of the contaminant. And TCE and similar contaminants are often poorly soluble in water. So degradation is limited by low solution concentrations and corrosion rate of the zero-valent iron phases. So one way to improve dechlorination kinetics is to composite zero-valent iron with an adsorbent such as biochar. And people have used one-step pyrolysis or borohydride reduction to reduce iron with the biochar. This works very well by increasing the local concentration of TCE near the reactive site surfaces. Again, going back to that kinetic model, you see we're increasing concentration, and this is how it works. So the background purpose of the study, we see that ZVI effectively remediates chlorinated hydrocarbon, such as TCE. However, it's both economically and environmentally costly due to current production pathways for zero-valent iron, which employs fossil fuels. And we know from the literature that pyrolysis can be used to produce ZVI for environmental use. However, the transformations of iron were poorly understood. And at the same time, biochar and activated carbon ZVI composites had significantly higher remediation kinetics versus ZVI alone. And there was a need to understand the transformations of iron, the relationships between feedstock chemistry, pyrolysis, in order to develop ZVI for environmental use. So in my experimental design, I selected a few different biomasses, treated them with ferric chloride, and then pyrolyzed at two different temperatures. I started by characterizing forms of iron using X-ray diffraction, and we see in the patterns on the left there, biochars produced at 700 Celsius. The main phase of iron was magnetite, although we had some evidence of zero-valent iron at 700 C. There was not sufficient reduction. However, at 900 C, you see these, sorry, this laser pointer is not working. You see the main peaks of zero-valent iron. You see that ferric iron was completely reduced, effectively 900 C, in biochar produced from cellulose, switchgrass, corn silver, and red oak. Interestingly, dry distiller grain did not yield zero-valent iron, but we had iron phosphides, pharyngite and schreibersite, which, though has no application for reductive dechlorination type of remediation, iron phosphides are actually, they actually have a high value in certain applications. And in the literature, others have heated
Okay, great.
So we see evidence for these iron phosphides. These are actually high-value materials, and I produce these in 4 hours of pyrolysis, where other studies have heated at much higher temperatures for several hundred hours. And the low-temperature DDG biochar, we had some evidence of potassium iron phosphate. I turned to X-ray photoelectron spectroscopy to get a better understanding of the transformations of iron and phosphorus during pyrolysis. So our spectrum on the right here, all the iron in here is ferric iron plus 3. However, there was a difference between the 700C, 900C iron 2P spectra on the DDG biochars, and the difference was this high-spin shoulder over here, which shows a difference in electron configuration. So ferric iron has an argon D5 configuration. And when the crystal field splitting energy is smaller than the pairing energy, electrons will fill orbitals by Hund's rule, as we see having more pair. As we see in the 700C biochars, this yields iron with more paramagnetic character. In contrast, 900C biochar had much higher crystal field splitting energy, causing that iron to be much more diamagnetic. And this is an indication that, in addition to X-ray diffraction evidence for iron phosphides in the 900C chars, I was able to conclude that iron was coordinated with phosphates at 700C, which decomposed at temperatures approaching 900C. Spectra of cellulose biochars did not change because those ferric oxide surfaces were stable through both temperatures. So iron reduction pyrolysis at 900C, we have a phase diagram here of different forms of iron. 900C is about 1173 Kelvin. And we can see that reduction has to go through this Fe non-stoichiometric oxide phase called wustite. It's a ferrous oxide. Iron reduces by oxidation of carbon, simple redox process, at low oxygen concentrations via transition through this wustite phase. I wanted to look at the stability of this iron, how quickly it corrodes. Here are XRD patterns of our biochar zero-valent iron materials from corn stover, switchgrass, cellulose, and red oak. And what we see here is that within 1 week time, zero-valent iron in biochars produced from corn stover and switchgrass completely corroded, whereas ZVI was stable in biochar from cellulose and red oak. And looking at the primary ZVI reflection, we could see that we had similar coherent diffraction, similar crystallite sizes of ZVI phases in these biochars. However, from the XRD patterns, we see that biochar from switchgrass and corn stover, ZVI, phaolite peaks decreased, and quartz, sylvite, and magnetite increased. And again, ZVI was stable in the other biochars. And that has to do with the size of iron phases. So we had much larger ZVI phases in biochars produced from red oak and switchgrass. You can see from the iron elemental maps, these phases are much larger, whereas iron is much more evenly distributed, smaller phases. And they're in biochars from switchgrass and corn stover. At the same time, there was a partial association with silicon. And we had XRD evidence of phaolite, this ferrous silicate. Taking a closer look, we can see that not all iron was associated with silicon. And we definitely have silicates in here. The chloride was not very well associated with iron. We had XRD evidence of sylvite. And there were discrete iron phases according to the iron map. Some are associated with silicon, some are not. So iron corrosion is described as a coarse shell model. Starts from outside of a particle working inwards, and it depends on diffusion of oxygen. And corrosion of iron, of ZVI in these biochars, was influenced by the conductivity of the mineralogy and diffusivity of oxygen into these phases. So phaolite in zero valent iron can dramatically enhance electrical conductivity. And so with increased electrical conductivity, electrons will move faster, allowing for faster corrosion. And dispersion of iron phases throughout switchgrass and corn stover biochars allowed for more rapid oxygen diffusion. So my conclusions were that pyrolysis in 900C can be used to produce ZVI for environmental use, yielding biochar zero valent iron composites, and that feedstocks low in silicon and phosphorus yield BCZVI suitable for environmental use. So that's all I have, and I'll take questions.
Well, the
big difference is that zero valent iron is currently produced by coal fired reduction. It's inherently energy intensive. Other people have produced ZVI in activated carbon biochar using borohydride reduction. To produce borohydride is also very energy intensive. So using pyrolysis has a much lower climate impact in producing ZVI for environmental use. Okay, thank you.
There is a CEU form here. If you you can sign out your name before the session ends, so you can get the equivalent amount of your CEU here in the table. Now we are on the last but not the least presentation for this morning, titled "Biochar, Manure, or Sawdust Affect Soil Water Retention Differently During 5-Year Period." Presenter, Dr. Roderick Lenz.